Hey, what's up, you guys? You're listening to Scooter Radio with me, Jack McRobert, and my good pal,
Much better. Kieran Barge.
Kieran
How's it
Barge.
going?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Just happy now we're going to talk about The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we're starting on we're going through all the Star Wars, the remaining Star Wars films now, aren't we?
Yeah, because we did Rise of Skywalker, so we thought, right, let's just get our views across on all of these because
Yeah.
they all mean a lot to us.
We've been meaning to do this for a while, it feels like, doesn't it?
I
Like,
think we
go through.
promised this right at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like
but
a year ago. But yeah,
we're
so
gonna
we
smash
just
them out.
watched. Yeah. We just watched clips. Well, pretty. It felt like the whole film, Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we
But we
skipped
watched some.
through a lot of it. We watched probably, I'd say about half of it.
Yeah, the bits that meant most to us and that I guess make it. The Phantom Menace to us,
Yeah.
not so no political parts of it.
No. I mean, what this video is going to be, we're not going to, because everyone and their mother has said how bad the Phantom Menace is, and
And their mother.
yeah, basically everybody has said
Yeah.
all the flaws with the Phantom Menace over the last 20 plus years. We've heard it all
What does your mother think of this?
of this film.
Yeah.
She
Anyway,
thinks it's
what?
trash like the rest of Star Wars,
Oh, okay.
but
Anyway,
yeah.
carry on.
Which I've now disowned her for, by the way. But yeah, this has been kind of derided for the last 20 years. Every bad thing that you could say about it has been said. So we thought we'd go in the opposite direction and point out the good stuff. And that's
Yes.
why this will be known as the Phantom Review. So hopefully
Yes.
it's a review that hasn't existed before about this film.
Genius. Yeah.
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 So the good stuff.
Right.
Now, we pointed out quite a few in the beginning. I was quite shocked in the first scene alone. So, first of all, we'll go through the actors that we thought
Yeah, I was
were
going to
good.
say the first positive we come across was the actors in it, Liam Neeson and Ewan
Ewan
McGregor.
and Ian McDermott, of
Yeah.
course, goes without saying. They're all great. Despite the clunky dialogue, they all did really well. They managed to act past it and do their jobs pretty well. Ewan Fex said you felt like Liam Neeson was kind of above this film. Like, he's not above Star Wars, but
Yeah,
this
Star
film.
Wars, nothing's, yeah, he's not obviously bigger than the franchise that is Star Wars, but
Hell no.
I felt like he was given a bit of like a difficult task, and he kind of, but he made it his own, and
He
like,
kept his dignity, didn't he?
yeah, and
All the
just really,
stupid stuff that was happening around it, and he managed to keep it together.
yeah, he worked with Jar Jar. He was like, we're gonna give you Jar Jar, and he just, yeah, he did well. He did well.
He did.
I thought he was really good. He was a great Qui-Gon Jinn,
He was.
great Jedi.
And yeah, you said that you think that he was the wisest of all the Jedi. Because he was kind of ahead of the curve, really. That's why he wasn't on the council, because he was too forward thinking and allowed the force to guide his actions rather than for his actions to guide the force, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think people look more towards the negatives, like we were saying in the beginning. Like, we're trying to find the positives in this film, and I think that obviously includes the characters, like Qui-Gon Jinn as well. A lot of people seem to just think of the negatives, I think, about Qui-Gon when this is over. Like, they straight away, like, we've both discovered theories, haven't we, that Qui-Gon knew that Anakin was like clouded, if you like, and he pretty much knew it was going to happen all along.
There was kind of like a shadiness built up around him because he was ostracized from the Jedi Council. There was also a link revealed that he had with Count Dooku in the second film, and he had a really like he was really intent on Anakin being trained. So there could be an argument there that he knew he
But I
would cause
mean,
the downfall of the
yeah,
Jedi.
that's just been like theories, though, isn't it? Nothing's
Yeah.
been like confirmed, obviously. But like, I think I saw a lot of good in Qui-Gon Jinn. He was, and like you said, he was clearly the wisest of them all. He led by example perfectly in the whole film. And yeah, I saw a lot of positives in him.
He was very much like Luke. Like I see a lot of Luke in him. Like I imagine if like in Return of the Jedi, I imagine if Qui-Gon was in Luke's place, he would have done very much the same thing. He'd be like, "No, I'm not gonna kill Anakin.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try and turn him."
he doesn't turn to violence. He's like, that's why I thought he's very much like Luke, and sort of, yeah, more good than not, definitely. But yeah, Ewan, I thought it was interesting seeing him as like a baby. And again, he did as well he did as well as the film allowed him to, I guess.
He was still youthful, but projected a wiseness beyond his years.
Yeah.
As, like, he seemed, like, genuinely like a young Alec Guinness, which is pretty impressive. I don't think that's an easy thing to do, to be still quite youthful, but seem wise.
Good point, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't say anything more about Ewan. He's great. He's great in all three.
Yeah.
Ian McDiarmid was the next one we mentioned as Darth Sidious. Amazing in all the films.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best actors in the entire franchise, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very good. And who's the actor that plays Anakin?
Oh, Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd, that's it.
Now, what do you think of him? Because, contrast to popular opinion, I think he's okay.
Yeah, I think he's good. Like, if you're gonna, it was always going to be, like, obviously a child actor. And, like, what do you expect?
Exactly. And I think he did better than what you would expect. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's terrible or the reason this film went downhill. The reason it went downhill was because of the script and the execution of the story, not because of Jake Lloyd's performance. I mean, and I feel really bad how everyone treated him. He was only 10 years old, and he was doing what he was told to do. And frankly, there are some scenes in here where he does kind of, like, tug at your heartstrings, particularly the scene with his mum.
They're our favourite scenes. They're what makes it for us, aren't they? The scenes with him and Shmi Skywalker.
So, Shmi Skywalker is the heart of the movie. Yeah, I maintain that.
Yes. She's brilliant. I was thinking, like, inside, like, is she my favourite character in that whole thing? Like,
in The Phantom Menace. Her scenes are amazing. There's so much emotion in them that we, because we were watching it in the beginning and we were, like, kind of rolling our eyes and kind of looking at the remote to kind of skip.
Just waiting for, like, them to land on Naboo, aren't we?
That was it. On Tatooine.
Tatooine.
That's the one.
What's Naboo?
No. I'm thinking of... Oh, we were waiting for Tatooine.
What's Naboo then? Because
Naboo's...
I'm such a good Star Wars... I'm such a Star Wars fan that I know, like...
Naboo is where...
Tatooine,
where the invasion takes place.
Oh, yeah.
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 Where Queen Amidala lives.
Oh, yeah. I love Star Wars.
Before we carry on with Shmi, because I think we've got a lot to say about that.
Yes.
I just want to mention Natalie Portman very quick.
Don't try to stop me, Shmi.
Shmi.
carry on.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Natalie Portman. Again, she gets a lot of stick for this.
Yeah.
But I felt she did really good. And a lot of people make fun of her weird robot voice that she has as the Queen.
Yeah.
But I feel that's actually ingenious because she's covering up her voice.
Yeah, that's so that she's not recognised. Is that, like, intentional, like, for the character, or
because obviously when she's just Padme, like, out of her queen guise, she speaks normally as Natalie Portman does, but when she's in her queen get up she has this kind of robotic monotonous voice, and it's very deep, actually. And a lot of people take the piss out of that, and I'm like, it makes sense, she would try and hide her voice.
But again, like, how old? They're no older than 15.
Again, 15, like, still a child actor technically,
you know, people just being a bit
my first crush as well. I fell in love with her in this film. I was eight at the time.
When you were younger.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, moving on. So back to Shmi. Yeah, like, those scenes with, like, her and, you know, at the table when they're discussing, like, the pod racing, and Anakin wants to pod race. She doesn't want to let him. And then in the end, she relents and she's like, he was meant to help you.
Yeah.
The scene with Qui-Gon where they're discussing Anakin's birth. Like, amazing.
That's amazing, when he's like, when Qui-Gon's like, your son has special powers and all that. That's
And she's like, there was no father.
She doesn't need Jake Lloyd all the time, does she? She like, carries the scenes.
Absolutely.
She's not, like, visibly, like, or, like, well-known as, like, an amazing actress or anything, but there's just something about her, isn't there?
She did, like, her job.
Yes.
Again, it's like Liam Neeson. She was almost above the film itself. And interesting you should mention Jake Lloyd, like, she doesn't need him. I think it's the other way around. Like, Jake Lloyd needs her in his scenes, because any scene that he's not in with her, his performance falls quite a bit. But I think he really excels in those scenes, and I don't think he should get the flack that he got.
No, I don't think so either. But
I mean, I did watch the auditions, you know, when they were searching for Anakin.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there was another kid who was better than him and who actually looked like Mark Hamill.
I think I have seen this.
Yeah. I mean, they should have picked him. But
really?
Yeah, I think so. It would have been much better.
Was he an actor that's been in other films?
No. No, he should have been, though. He is a better actor than Jake Lloyd, I will say.
Oh, wow.
But
so he could have made it, but now...
George Lucas decided to...
He's a lawyer or something.
Probably, yeah. And he looked a lot like Mark Hamill, so I was really wondering why they didn't go with him. And the performance was a lot better, but... hey-ho, Jake Lloyd got it in the end, and yeah, he wasn't as bad as people say.
No.
So I think that's an underrated positive, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Darth Maul.
Yeah, Darth Maul was obviously, that's what I was going to initially do the thumbnail based on, because I feel like everyone just like loves him basically. Like it's all about him. But as we discovered, like, not to us, we're going to stay true to like our beliefs.
And we think Anakin and Shmi are the centre here.
Yeah, definitely. Them scenes, you know, if you were the believers that, you know, Anakin is the chosen one and it should have ended after Return of the Jedi, then these scenes, like, everything that makes Anakin Anakin, everything that makes Anakin Darth Vader, all these scenes are what, like, mean the most to me personally as a Star Wars fan.
I mean, this film planted the seeds for Darth Vader. I mean,
yeah,
when we were talking about that scene when they're around the table having dinner, and there's that really beautifully tragic moment where Anakin's like, no one can kill a Jedi.
Yeah.
And that's great foreshadowing, because he ends up killing the majority of them.
Yeah.
And then you have great foreshadowing where Qui-Gon says, I wish that was so.
Yeah.
And he's the one who actually dies in the end.
Mm.
The first Jedi we see die. So that's quite touching. And then you have, was it, you found a bit emotional when he's like, I had a dream I was a Jedi and came back and freed all the slaves.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing, because that is like, I think like, what, just going like back to what we love about Star Wars is like, is not, you know, I don't care about like the fights in the fucking space and all that.
Yeah.
I don't care about,
it's just a backdrop, isn't it?
I don't care about all that. I love just like his journey in like life, just like normal real life.
Mm-hmm.
You like dissect it, and the fact that like that dream that he was talking about is almost like a premonition of, you know, had everything gone to plan, and I not had been like outcast by the Jedi Council, then like, you know, this would have been my destiny. You know, I would have been like another like Luke Skywalker, I guess.
That was his premonition, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Much like his premonition of his mom dying and.
But yeah, but then these things just came into his life. That's what I love about Anakin. Like, that was his destiny, just to go down that positive route. But that's life, isn't it? You know, you try and be positive. Shit comes in to try and derail you. If you like, and it's how you deal with that.
That's an amazing point.
You know, that's how you deal with it. And Star Wars is just a perfect example of, you know, going to the dark side is almost like, you know, taking negatives, letting the negatives absorb you, you know?
Very much. Like in life, the root of every negative emotion is fear.
Yeah. That's what I love about it. Like,
yeah. That's something we all face in our day to day in real life. So that's why Star Wars is powerful, and why Anakin's journey is so powerful.
It's not about Jar Jar Binks and droids and all that shit, is it? It's about
the actual
life lessons.
That's one thing that really dragged it down this time, watching it, especially this time for me, was Jar Jar and that all that nonsense that didn't need to be there.
Mm.
It would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like just a comical character, wasn't he? And it was just not, it's just not funny.
No.
They gave him way too many
moments.
Yeah, way too much limelight.
Yeah, but anyway, positives. We were talking about Darth Maul, wasn't he? Darth Maul, that was... So, yeah, he was, like, the poster boy for this film, wasn't he? I remember in 99 when it came out, he was everywhere. Like, it was his face up there. He was, like, the new Darth Vader.
Mm.
And I think that's what pissed a lot of people off when they went to go see the film, was that he was only in it for 10 minutes before he was unceremoniously killed off, even though he had the high ground.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense.
No.
But, yeah.
No. good point.
I think they're the good characters. I can't think of anybody.
The double-ended lightsaber, that was cool and everything. It's just funny how everyone like loves a villain, isn't it? Like, how many like franchises are there where it's like the villain is, we rely on the villain being like the coolest thing, just because of his like face paint and his horns and everything. And
he was the coolest thing in that film.
Yeah,
he raised it up for many levels.
He shouldn't have been, really.
No, I think it's kind of...
Why do people like the villains?
Well, especially in Star Wars, they're always iconic. I think it's the imagery of it.
Yeah.
Mostly, like, when you look at Darth Vader and Maul, Palpatine.
It's just something...
Even alien, General Grievous.
Alien, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to bless Liam Neeson in his like his massive, massive cloak and long hair and beard. It's like no one's gonna be like, oh, that looks
no. Cool. But that's the thing. I mean, I guess when you're younger, you gravitate towards the villains. Whereas yeah. when you grow older, you find more appreciation in the heroes.
Yes.
They are just as complex. In fact, even more so. Like Luke's journey in 4, 5, and 6, that's incredibly complex and so much depth to it. But you don't recognize that when you're a kid. You just see.
And that's why it's interesting doing this so many years later. Like, this came out ages ago. And if we'd done it, if we were, I don't know, this age in the early 2000s and did the review then it would be like what you were talking about then. Like, it wouldn't be as, like,
sense. It's impossible to think. I mean, because obviously we were kids at the time. But I think I liked it when I first saw it. I knew something was off. It wasn't as good as The Empire Strikes Back. I could recognize that even at that age.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable. And I think it's actually kind of deceiving because the last thing when you leave the cinema, the last thing you remember is that whole Duel of Fate sequence at the end. So you just think it's awesome.
Yeah.
You forget all the crap that came before it.
Yeah, that is like, that will forever be iconic, won't it, in Star Wars? Like
the Duel of Fates.
John Williams.
Another big plus point, John Williams. Like, I think this is his best work in the saga, I would say.
Really?
The Phantom Menace, yeah. This and probably Revenge of the Sith. I think is his best work. It's just, it's that choir, isn't it? I know you love a good choir.
Yeah, but Across the Stars as well.
Oh, Across the Stars is good, yeah. I mean, in the film as a whole.
Yeah.
Because Attack of the Clones, aside from Across the Stars, it doesn't really have anything special, aside from a few repeats of The Phantom Menace.
No.
But the score is exceptional. Yes. I doubt the fight at the end with Darth Maul would have been as epic as it was.
No, not at all.
Without that score.
No.
So, John Williams never lets us down. He's the consistently good thing throughout. All 9 films.
Yeah.
Even though I think he dropped the ball a bit on the sequel trilogy, but yeah.
He's a bit of a theme in like our favourite 90s movies, isn't he?
He makes a lot of them, yeah, I think.
He's an incredible icon.
The emotion I think we feel throughout all those films is from him.
Yeah.
Rather than the film itself, I think.
Yeah.
He's the source of where our nostalgic emotion comes from. It's like when you hear one of those themes, you're instantly transported back to when you were that age and you were seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big up to John.
Yeah, that was good. I haven't seen it. There were so many scenes that sort of I don't really remember, like at the end. I still want to talk about sort of on Tatooine and stuff, but at the end, when they're sort of hinting at Yoda saying there's always two Sith, the Master and Apprentice, and then the camera goes to Ian and it's like so obvious and I didn't even
proper
like,
focuses on him.
Yeah, but I don't remember that bit, but I think it's, for me, looking back, reliving this film now, it's like pod racing is just for children, like that part, like,
we skip that.
The main parts that mean a lot to us are the basically any scene with Shmi in it.
Yeah. And I would say the same. I mean, we'll talk about Attack of the Clones when we do, but same with that. The Shmi scenes were like, oh, man.
Yeah,
there was one, I think. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Them parts are amazing. Like, we'll obviously talk about Attack of the Clones, but, like, everyone slates it. And, yeah, the majority of it is crap. But, like, them scenes, again, like, if you follow Anakin and you love Anakin's story, and for you Star Wars is about the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker, then these are the scenes that are the most important.
They're paramount, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned Palpatine. Actually, one thing I wanted to say was it's tough with this film because the story is actually really good. It was the execution that was bad. The script is horrendous.
Yeah.
But, you know, we skip past the Coruscant scene. I feel like you couldn't take that out because it's really interesting. You need that to see how genius Palpatine's plan was.
Yeah.
That's the issue. So it's like those scenes are slow and boring to watch, but it's interesting to see how Palpatine's
rise,
plan is all coming together, because what he does is genius, gets the Trade Federation to invade his own planet, forcing the Queen to seek his help, and then kind of manipulating the situation to become the new chancellor.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'll always like love the spiritual side of Star Wars. But like the Jedi religion and the positive thinking and stuff like that. I love that.
That's one great element, yeah.
It sort of intertwines with real life. But yeah, no, that is very important as well.
To see how Palpatine. I just wish I could
find it interesting and like actually take it in.
Yeah, I think it was interesting, but it is interesting, but it's not interestingly done. It doesn't make sense what I'm saying at all, because I'm saying these scenes are boring and we skipped them, but like at the same time,
we understand plan, why they're in there.
We understand why they're in there.
It makes sense to be in there. But yeah. It's not.
But it's. I feel it could have been done a lot better.
Hmm.
Maybe. I think there's a way of doing that showing how he orchestrated his plan, but without having it just not be so it as slow. Much
coverage, because there are so many parts of the film that, you know, could have been given more coverage. Like, we could have seen perhaps more into, like, Darth Maul's story.
We maybe. Could have seen Darth Plagueis, because Plagueis was alive during the events of that film.
Yes.
He was killed the night before Palpatine was elected. So.
That's mad.
Instead of focusing, looking at Jar Jar, like.
Exactly.
Stepping in shit and stuff. Why didn't we see.
Stepping in shit. That's, stepping in cow shit.
Yeah, like, why didn't we see Darth Plagueis?
That's so true. It's like. Thinking of it like that is just.
That's where this film is that, infuriating.
That blows my mind, yeah. Infuriating is the right word, because, like. There's nothing we can do about it now. It's just annoying, disappointing.
22 years too late.
Yeah, but like imagine if they'd done that instead. I don't know. I wonder if they regret it. But yeah, what do you think? I mean, nothing is set in stone with regards to where Anakin came from.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think?
Well, for a while there was a theory. I think I mentioned this in The Rise of Skywalker, that there was a theory that Palpatine had done it. He was now behind it, but that was debunked. I'm going to just take it as Darth Plagueis, because Palpatine says as much, doesn't he? That he was able to manipulate the midichlorians to create life. And he looks at Anakin while he's saying it.
Yes.
That's like, to me, that's a massive giveaway that he was the one.
Yeah, I agree with that. But then I've got in the back of my mind, like, Palpatine saying that, you know, his master taught him everything he knew.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that as well. So I'm like, yeah.
I mean, Lucas has out and out said that Palpatine didn't do it, but he's not going to reveal who did it. So unless he says, we'll never know.
Yeah.
That's a bit of info he might take to the grave, because he said he doesn't want anyone knowing.
Oh, but he has to. Like, you can't take that to the grave and leave us. That's torturous, isn't it? But I mean, if it wasn't Palpatine, then is it too obvious that then it must be Plagueis?
Or... it's got to be, yeah.
But then is that
because we don't know anyone else? Obvious?
Is George thinking, like, maybe George doesn't care? Maybe George is just like, it's not Palpatine, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, it's Plagueis, but that seems a bit too obvious.
It does. So, it does. That's the only person left to accuse of doing it.
So it could have been Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon could have.
No, I don't think so.
It could have been Dooku.
Did you feel, it was weird, did you feel a bit of, like, sexual chemistry between Qui-Gon and Shmi?
No.
I always felt that. I always felt like there was something there.
I see where you're getting.
That's no, you an don't.
Interesting point.
You don't. But like, rewatch it again. And there's something between them.
The way she looks at him is like, I never planned on seeing you again, because he's the one that impregnated
her. No, not in that way. But you know, there's like subtle things, like when he says.
She's like, you left me in the taxi drunk. Like, I never wanted to see you. No,
I don't even know what to say. There's no taxis in Star Wars.
No, flying taxis, hover taxis.
That bit when you know, when he asks if she's going to be all right when he's about to take Anakin away, and he puts his hand on her shoulder.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's little things that make me think that something could have happened with those two if they were left together for some time.
Really?
I think
is this like a fantasy?
It's not a fantasy, but
if
I just...
he was stranded, yeah, if he was stranded and they didn't.
I felt this as a kid. I don't know. I felt like if they had enough time, something could have happened there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then,
I can't think of any other
positives.
And then
Qui-Gon dies and she's like pregnant with his child. That would have been good.
That would have been horrendous.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. But anyway, what's left? I think we've talked about all the positives. All
there is now to discuss really is Anakin, what happened, why Anakin sort of made that sort of that step and what it meant for him leaving. And I mean, there's an interesting point your brother made
Oh yeah, what was this?
that was, had Qui-Gon not died, he thinks that everything would have gone to plan.
Oh yes,
And I never really thought of that, because we always think that, you know, it's the things like his mum dying and him getting neglected by the council and stuff like that that leads to his negative thoughts,
exactly.
etc. But
And the fact that Obi-Wan simply wasn't ready to be a Jedi Master himself and teach anybody, and that's very evident in Attack of the Clones, because he's just constantly smothering Anakin, not letting him breathe.
Yeah.
So it just shows that he has a lack of confidence in himself to be a good teacher.
He smothers him, but then when he doesn't, it's like he's going for a drink in the bar instead. Anakin's like, "You're smothering me, Obi-Wan," and he's like, and then he just walks off and he's like, "Where are you going, Master?" He's like, "For a drink."
That was a good impression. One thing that I've just been alerted to as well that we forgot to mention.
We've just had some news come in.
Yes, from the Barge household. The CGI.
You were very impressed with it, weren't you?
This film
as
was actually...
As soon as it kicked off.
Yeah, as soon as it kicked off. I think this film has like aged so much better than Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more... There were a lot more practical sets in this.
I don't know how. It's bizarre, isn't it? But it has. I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, it has. And like the droids just looked a lot more real. The ships did. I think they were still using models at this point to a certain degree. But the other two have come out looking really, really bad. Like you can really see the green screen in the other
it's
two.
Not because you've got it on Blu-ray and like Yoda was not a puppet.
No.
Maybe when we watch Attack of the Clones, you'll be saying like that looks amazing because it's on Blu-ray and it's been redone.
No, because the scenes were like, because this was, I think still done mostly like real locations, the Phantom Menace, whereas Attack of the Clones was not, apart from Tatooine.
Oh, yeah.
It was mostly CGI.
Yeah.
Same with Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
There was very little real stuff actually in the frame.
Yeah.
So I feel like The Phantom Menace actually is the best looking of the prequels by far. The lightsabers are a bit dodgy looking. They're not as nice looking as in the latter two. But
the noises they make are a bit...
I don't know about the noises, but...
Too static.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's like they're hitting the end, the handles together. It doesn't, instead of like, it kind of makes like a bang.
Banging,
like lightning. That's what it sounds like a crash of lightning.
Oh yeah, there is a lot of that going on. What did you think of the fighting, though? Like, because you actually said that you preferred the fighting in A New Hope, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, no, what I thought was when Alec Guinness is describing... basically what a Jedi is and what the lightsaber is saying, you know, it's a more civilized weapon. He said something like that, didn't he?
Yes, and, it's a weapon of elegance, essentially.
Yeah. When we were watching one of them tribute videos from that guy that we liked, we should give a shout out
to that guy. Heroes Fan Productions?
Yeah.
That guy's amazing.
His or her, whoever's doing it.
Yeah.
Very, very good videos. Awesome. And yeah, I noticed a bit in that and that made me think, like, yeah, like, a Jedi Knight is meant to be sort of not all about, you know, resorting to violence and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't need... That's what I don't like in Attack of the Clones and stuff like that, when, you know, everyone's doing these backflips, the lightsaber's moving quicker than we can follow.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, Liam Neeson seemed to be using it, the weapon, a bit more civilized, which I liked. So
I think there was a self-awareness that the Jedi... about the film, that the Jedi had actually lost their way over the years, because they were supposed to be peacekeepers, but they eventually turned into soldiers throughout the Clone Wars.
Knights.
And kind of lost their way. Mm. They weren't what they initially were.
Mm.
Hence That's why Luke throws away his lightsaber in Return of the Jedi, because he's like, it's a thing of violence, because he sees what he's just done to his own dad.
Yes.
And he throws it away.
Mm.
So that was kind of symbolic that he's kind of gone back to the original Jedi.
Yeah.
Before the prequel era, that were just peacekeepers. So that's actually quite a good thing you picked up on there. That fighting, though, is great. It's choreographed to hell, that end lightsaber battle. But,
the Duel of Fates,
But it was great. We were seeing the Jedi fighting in their prime for the first time.
Mm.
Hence all the backflips. And
Rey was awesome, wasn't it?
Rey. Oh, Rey Park.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, yes, he was.
Yeah.
That was his job. He was a martial artist.
Oh, yeah.
So they, instead of bringing an actor in, they actually brought a fighter in to do the fight scene, that's which I think upped everybody else's game.
Mm.
I think Ewan and Liam did pretty well to rise up to that level.
Yeah, I think they did.
They stayed with him. But yeah, aside from that, I don't think there are any other positives. I think we found a lot here. We spent about half an hour talking about positives. So that means there's something good in here. There is a good film trying to get out of here. And that's, I can say the same about the other two prequels as well. The story is amazing.
Yeah.
The execution is horrendous.
Yeah.
And that's where it all went to shit.
And that is it, yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
That's it.
That's the prequels.
That is the prequels.
Included.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, anything else you want to say about this? Anything more?
No, I think we've highlighted what our favourite parts of it are, what positives there are to take out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can, you know, make someone else, you know, think. If we can get, you know, one of our listeners to go and think, you know what, I'll watch that again. I'll give it another try. I'll try and see the good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And just really home in on them scenes with Shmi. Then we've done our job.
Absolutely. And I want to say there's one important point I want to end on. There's a line in this film which I think is the most meaningful line in the whole of Star Wars. Maybe not the most, but one of.
Mm.
And it's when Qui-Gon says to Anakin, "Always remember, your focus determines your reality." I think that's one of the best lines because it's basically what I take away from it is that if you think positive,
yes,
life will be positive.
Yeah.
It's all about thought management.
Yes.
And if you think a certain way, you will attract that from the universe. And that's what he's telling Anakin right there.
That's what I like, the laws of attraction.
That is, yep. So yeah. He's basically giving Anakin his first lesson there.
Well, funnily enough, we skipped that bit, though, didn't we?
We did.
So
we did.
You remember that. So
I do. That's one of the main things I remember.
You know, so that's why people need to go and give this film another watch. Cause,
yeah.
You know,
it's not all bad.
No.
It's not all bad. It's not the worst thing ever. It's not. I will say, having just said all of this, I will say, it's not a good film, and it's not even a good Star Wars film. but
you have just,
there are gems in there
to
be appreciated, and that there is something everybody can take away from this that's universal.
Yes,
which is the power of positivity.
You just need to realize the story of Star Wars is about Anakin, and just therefore just watch the scenes with Anakin and enjoy. And that's it.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's. I guess that's it.
That concludes it. And yeah, our next video will be Attack of the Clones, I take it.
Yeah. So we're just going to go the next few weeks or
keep going through them. Yeah.
It's just going to be Star Wars. So we're just going to get them all out of the way and then we'll never have to really return to it again, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless we've got something else to say. And then we can just move on to other things.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something we need to get done because Star Wars is like, it means a lot to
both
of us.
Look at the first video or the second video technically we did after the intro.
Yeah.
That's it. About all of Star Wars and so
it means the most to us, so we feel like we should just do this, prioritize this, and then move on afterwards and
have a nice little playlist of work there of all the Star Wars films.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I imagine for the next one we'll probably be talking about the positives of Attack of the Clones.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's something different that I don't think many people do, so stay tuned for that. And
make sure you like and subscribe and comment if you think our video was bad. Tell us why you think it was good. Tell us why you think it was good. That would mean a lot. So please subscribe.
Excellent. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter too. You can find the links in the description.
Yes, that's great. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Catch you guys later.
Goodbye.